What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back, and we have with us like Pastor Stephen Brode. Pastor, give your church a plug.
Fair Park Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas. We've been there for over 35 years. I planted it as a lighthouse, as a voice in a very dark place in the inner city. And we provide a message that is consistent with biblical principles and consistent with the expectations that God has for his people in these very tumultuous and troubling times. Message of hope, a message that has a future expectation of something good is going to happen. And that good is that Jesus is coming again, and it looks like he's coming real soon.
Yeah, you're right about that. All of the signs are becoming clearer and clearer. They're all around us, aren't they? And here now that Israel's last real ally is turned against her, we see that that's one of the signs in the Bible when Israel stands alone. And by the way, we need to pray for the peace of Israel. The Bible continues to tell us, you know, that too. So anyhow, you can count, listen, on us here. I'm in this with you 110%. And so whenever you want some airtime, you want to let us know how you're progressing, what's going on, or you have announcements that need to be made, let me know, because I'm, like I said, I'm with you 110. And so that's TerryBroden2024.com, TerryBroden2024.com, or you folks, believe it or not, see, I know something a lot of people don't know. There are a lot of people out there, especially my age, that are not on the internet. And they don't want to be on the internet, okay? But they know how to write an address down, and they've got stamps and letters. And they can write a check. And that check, Randy says, just send it to, make it out to Randall Terry for president. Randall Terry for president. Post office box 420. Ellendale, Tennessee, 38029. That's Randall Terry for president, post office box 420, Ellendale, Tennessee, 38029. And I want to thank you for what you're doing out there, brother. Again, I've been in this battle now for 50 years. I've been fighting the death culture. And we have a saying here.
Well, you got me by 5 years. I've been in for 45 years, fighting it as a black man who recognized that the culture of death has targeted black women and children for many, many years. And when we talk about human trafficking, much of the traffic of babies are being fueled by black babies. Those are black eyes, black kidneys, black livers, black human parts that are being trafficked right now across this world because abortion is practiced to a high percentage upon black women in America.
It is, but you know what? You're right. And what you've got, people like George Soros, and he put his shopping list out there. And, you know, what's happening is they set it up. And I remember watching a film some years ago with Rockefeller talking about how, here's what we're going to do. We are going to destroy the families. We're going to break them up. And here they targeted the black family. Get the male out of the house. How do they do that? Well, we'll give you money. We'll give you money. It's taxpayers' dollars. Get the father out of the house. I was in a prison ministry. Well, I still am, but I visited for 45 years. I was going to death row and the different jails and prisons. And one of the things that in common with just about all of the inmates was no father in the house. No father in the house. And that's exactly what's happening today. And you know what? Soros got a shopping list, and he had these women. They're black women, like you see, Fannie Willis and Letita James and people like Kamala Harris and that hate men, okay? It's not just the black women, but mostly he's targeted these women, like the one out of the Missouri, to be attorney generals. He's using this to hate, you know, these women hate men, but the idea of it out there is that they're politically correct. This is what the media has put out there all of this time, and they are really a major part of destroying the black families, are they not?
Absolutely, Ernie. I think you are an incredible voice for God at this hour. And one of the things, as a watchman on the wall, that you and I must communicate effectively into the public square is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. The Spirit expressly says that in the latter days, some will pay attention to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. This is a spiritual warfare. And I think most Americans, and Christians in particular, forget the fact that we're up against a demonic effort to destroy God's institutions, God's purpose, and God's voice in the public square. We can counter that if we know that this is what is happening. I think you are doing that. Terry Broden is doing that in this election cycle. We're the prophetic voice of God, and we need God's people to invest in the voice. Invest in the voice. Go to TerryBroden2024.com and make a donation there. And help us get this message into the public square, for it is the voice of God at this hour for America. America is facing an incredible judgment, and God is showing us that. And we need to recognize that this is a spiritual engagement. These people are demonic. They're evil.
Well, the proof of that, brother, is the fastest growing religion today in the world is Satanism. Here in America, Democrats are in large numbers are literally going to the Church of Satan now. They're literally becoming, they're choosing the Church of Satan. That's right out in the open. I mean, it's here, right there. We're living it real time.
And that's not hyperbole. That's reality. That's not hyperbole. We're not hyperbolizing here. We see that this is a spiritual warfare. That's why Broden and Randall Terry have decided to run in this election cycle, because we see the evil is metastasizing across this nation. And God is using us to say to America, repent. And I believe Christians need to invest in this. Stop sitting on the sideline and get engaged and be involved. And start with your time, your talent, and your treasure.
Be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. You know, we have people out there today, these prissy preachers, that tell you, well, now, you know, all we're supposed to do is basically we're to pray. Now, praying, good, yeah. You know, that's where you start. What did Jesus do? He prayed, right? And then he fed 5,000. He prayed. He calmed an angry sea. He praised. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And finally, when he prayed, he raised himself from the dead and bought salvation, eternal life for all of us. But he prayed and he acted, prayed and he acted. I've had these preachers actually tell me that that, you know, I appreciate what you're doing. I really do. But, you know, I'm not called to that. My ministry is just one of prayer. You know what I find out? I find out the people like myself, like the J6ers, like you, that go out there and put your body on the line, it seems like we have a lot more emphasis to pray than these others, okay? Because we know we have to pray. And so, anyhow, that's where we're coming from.
Well, you know, you know that the Bible says, occupy until I come.
Absolutely.
That occupy means that we are salt and light agents, and we represent the kingdom of God, ambassadors of God, representing the mind of God in the public square. And so prayer, yes, it's essential. I believe, and I learned this at Dallas Theological Seminary when I attended there, and that is that prayer is the nerve that moves the muscle in the arm of God. And God, in turn, moves us. And when he moves us, we stand up and be an ocular demonstration of the reality of God in the world. And so it is praying that has a reaction by the hand of God that will motivate us to stand up and be his witnesses at this very hour. I thank you so much, Ernie, for allowing us to come and to share our vision and our mission, which we believe is a prophetic mission that represents the mind of God, the voice of God at this hour when it's so, so dark. Isn't it like God to stand up a voice and show the way through an ember of light that will come through our campaign, that the killing of babies must stop, and repentance is essential for the rescue of this republic. If we do not repent, the judgment of God will fall swift and quickly.
Amen. We're seeing it every day. Our children are dying from fentanyl. You know, here, the second cause of death amongst those that survive abortion is suicide. I mean, when your children are killing themselves, this is not good. And so this is what has taken place because of ignorance and apathy. Wow, he tells you in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, for lack of knowledge. And that's his word that it's referring to, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, talk about the number one cause of death in America right now is heart disease. Number two is cancer. Number three is COVID-19. And number four, the number four killer of Americans is the slaughter of babies in their mother's womb, child killing by abortion. Child killing by abortion is number five on the list. I mean, number four on the list. Most Americans don't know that. That we're killing babies faster and quicker than any other pathology other than heart disease, cancer, and COVID. Then number four is child killing. America needs to wake up. Join our effort, TerryBroden2024.com, and make a contribution. God bless you.
God bless, and thanks so much for being here.
Thank you, Pastor, for being here.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And listen, I'm serious when I said we're in this with you. Anytime you guys need airtime, let me know. We'll continue to go. We'll see if we got to raise that money. All right, there you go. I got an article here. You know, what comes around goes around, and here this judge, Arthur Engron, the one that was trying to fine President Trump $454 million. This man is corrupt, and we've said it before. Well, guess what? It's all coming back on him, and now he's under investigation for corruption. And let me just read you. The case before Engron claimed that Trump's companies misvalued properties while obtaining loans. The leaders testified that the procedures were used were standard in business practices, and they came to their own estimate of property values. That's normally how you do business. There was nothing done. Now, is Judge Arthur Engram corrupt? You bet he's corrupt. Engram's claim was that Trump and each of the defendants participated in aiding and abetting the conspiracy to commit insurance fraud by their individual acts, falsifying business records and valuations, causing materially fraudulent FCSs to be intentionally submitted to insurance companies. The judge's determination that he found fraud before the trial, and then he held the hearings, and he said this. He said solely to determine the punishment. In other words, before the trial, Engron declared Trump guilty. And so now he's under investigation for corruption.
Praise God. Praise God for
yes.
that.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
You got an article there, Randy.
Sure. Let 10 million cop cars burn. And it's Radical Pro-Hamas Terror Group. And the leader of the group is Rachel Corey's Ghost Brigade admits to torching 15 Portland police cop cars in a preemptive attack. And basically what she's saying is this, is that it's saying that 15 police cars were burned, were torched in the police training facility near the Portland airport. And the cause was being investigated as arson, not as some type of accident, if you will. The terrorist group called on far-left supporters to smash the house windows of the fraternity houses nearby if they came to confront the Marxist pro-Hamas group. They called on supporters to attack the police. The crazed city officials will release them this morning, and obviously they're out now because this article was done like yesterday, so they got out today. And what they did so far is this, is that here's their creed, and I think this is interesting because I want everybody to think about January 6th in light of this. Their creed is, we did it for the Haymarket martyrs. We did it all for the black and indigenous rebels murdered by slavers and settlers. We did it for all the brutalized student protesters. Above all, we did it for the Palestinian martyrs, and we want to remind the world that the official count is stuck at 35,000 martyrs because the Israelis bombed every hospital to stop accurate reporting of the deaths. Now it says, our attacks were preemptive, and after seeing Humboldt, Columbia, UCLA, and these are institutes of higher learning, we more than knew that the occupants from Portland State University would be swept violently and wanted to attack Portland Police Bureau. The students, we have the following messages. Number one, and this is their agenda. Number one, no symbolic victories. Do not accept speeches and committees. The two demands are, divest and amnesty for all. Isn't that interesting? They didn't do that in January 6th. No negotiations. Do not give up any ground until you get the money pulled out and the charges dropped and the suspensions. All will be canceled. Do not let them demobilize you. Do not let the parties, and this is the, it says, the it's their creed on that is, we'll say, expletive, delete the communist parties because they're pieces of expletive. The student government or the administration will tell you it's over. It's not. Keep the threat of your return preeminent, especially if the administration refuses to meet our demands. And the last two are this, fight, defend your camps, it says. And then the last one, five, out of the quads, out of the bulldozers, and out of the buildings, into the streets. As the semester ends, it's not over. Fight during the summer when next year, start fighting again. And then I'll leave it at this. We call for more actions to avenge Palestinians and the brutalized students at Portland State University and beyond. Let 10 million cop cars burn.
All right, Little Lisa, you have an article there.
Okay,
wait a minute, before you do it, you know, I mean, that's a lot of work these terrorists have to do. And by the way, they found out that, you know, when they take the masks off, these guys wearing all black, they're not college kids, you know. You got guys in their 40s that are out there, and they're that's what they do. They train terrorists. That's what they're doing with these kids. And, of course, they're being funded by the Democrats, George Soros and these others.
Right. Yes.
Now, you can bet Kamala Harris will do everything she can when these, if any of these that burn the police cars down or burn houses down should get arrested, Kamala Harris will be out there and said, she'll post the bail. She'll say, we got to get him out.
That's what they said in the article. Is it they're not going to stop this until they let everybody go, in essence. And we know that they will let them go. But January 6th was a whole other thing.
Oh, right.
They don't want any of them to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was that?
And you see, you know what happened? See, the Republican Party, this is why I agree with the Green. You know, they could have defunded, the Republican had to, they could have defunded the Justice Department. For, you know, these are the people that are persecuting, they're persecuting the Christian patriots. But they didn't. You know, Johnson didn't. They could have defunded the FBI. They didn't. And all that money, that billions of dollars they sent, not one dime of it went to securing our border.
Well, that's exactly right. And you're right that we have one party. We basically have one party here in America. There's not two anymore. They're kind of, you know, they shake hands in the back room.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not even in the back room anymore.
You got about a dozen Republicans that are actually for real, and the rest, they're not.
Yes.
Out there.
Yes.
And, it's the only other place that you find that weak is the pulpit of what is supposed to be churches today.
Yes.
You've got very few. You won't find a lot of testosterone. Mm-hmm. There, not a lot of courage.
But there's a lot of legislation to stop true pulpits anyway. I mean, pretty soon we won't be able to say half of what the Bible teaches in the way that we should live and how we should think.
Well, it'll get to the point where it'll have to be an underground church. It'll have to be like the underground church in China and some of these other countries where the true Christians will be worshiping other than the openness.
But, you know, you have to admit that the church in China and Russia is more honest than we are, because our issues here are LGBTQ, mm-hmm. abortion, and anything that's not right anyway. And even China and the Russians don't go along with half of the garbage that's happening here. And they'll put a gag order on us where saying anything like I'm saying now is going to be a hate crime. I mean, that's what's coming next. This is going to be a hate crime.
Yeah, but they still don't have the freedom of religion for Christianity.
I agree.
That's the point with going underground, having to be more subtle than... Sure.
Actually, in Russia today, but in Russia, they actually have more freedom of religion than we do here. I mean...
Yes.
Putin has actually come out and encouraged people to attend church. He's actually encouraged people to, you know, go back to the Bible. I'm not saying I trust Putin in any way.
But at least, you know, on the surface, he is more upright than we are in a lot of ways. And that's what I'm saying about them.
He's encouraging marriage. He said, marriage and raise children. Okay. And so, in that way, they're... And much more moral than we've become here in the United States.
Well, there's no country that has survived that has destroyed marriages. The only way for a country to grow and grow strong is within this frame of marriages. So when you start going against marriage and going against what God has taught, the country will not grow and will not be strong, and that's what they're probably seeing, and that's why they're encouraging marriages.
Listen, we're not going to get away with this. 83 or 84 times this progression that we've had here has happened. They had the women's movement. You then go ahead and abortion comes in. Euthanasia usually is coming, and that's happening here. Now we don't talk about it as much, but it's happening here.
Then, big time.
Then the next thing that happens is
COVID was euthanasia. That's that was a big factor. How many old people were affected more so than the younger people?
Purposely,
absolutely.
And then the other thing they do. In the fourth stage, and we're there now, is what I call the stupid stage. They make it where you cannot criticize all of the other three. You can't talk about it. You can't do it because they've already made it a hate crime. Come on. We can't argue pretty soon about what's a woman or what's a man because all that's going to go by the wayside. I mean, look at the sport. Look at the sports. Collegiate sports, even high school sports. You have got to be kidding me. You're letting transgenders compete against the women. That's nonsense. I mean, it really, really is. But all that's happening now, and they're trying to make it part of the law. So it's ridiculous. And I'm saying that, so we've got stage four cancer, if you will, in the progression of the death of a nation. And I don't see God turning around and letting us slide while he wiped out 80-something other nations doing the same thing.
You've got the ACLU that's held, and it's hailed by what is it called, the mainstream media, as a legitimate organization. And they're pushing hard. Their number one cause today is to legalize pedophilia. They want to legalize pedophilia. And on top of that, they want to legalize prostitution. So here you've got and the Southern Poverty Law Firm. It's the Southern Perversion Law Firm. And yet NBC, ABC, CBS, they try to give it a legitimate type.
You know what? It's something, though, and I'm glad this came up because I think about this all the time. Why hasn't someone come up, and we need to stand up as a people and say, they don't represent me, so that when they come and they say they're representing, we need to make them prove, who are you representing? Because if you talk to individuals, they don't represent like, my neighborhood is not pro what they do. You know, yours isn't either. I know that. You know, and I'm just saying that, like, what gives them the right to just stand up and say that, You know, we're doing a class action suit. What class? What is this action for? And who are these people? And I think if they were called to task on that, that thing wouldn't hold water in court.
Yes.
Lisa's been waiting. All right, Lisa.
Okay, now this one's from the Gateway Pundit. A Pennsylvania pastor said God intervened when a gun jammed as a man tried to shoot him during Sunday sermon. A 26-year-old man was arrested and charged with aggravated assault and attempted homicide after he tried to shoot a North Braddock pastor on Sunday. Pastor Glenn Germany of Jesus Dwelling Place Church said God intervened and jammed the gun. He pulled the gun. It clicked. Pastor Germany told WPIX-TV, you heard him shoot it, but God jammed the gun so the bullet didn't come out. Praise the good Lord for that, right?
Man, that's a miracle.
Well, you know what? I know about that because that's happened to me. I've been shot at several times out there in front of those bloody abortion mills.
But the Lord protected you.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
Yes, he did.
And many times.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, praise God. Yeah.
Yes.
All righty. Richard, you have an article there.
That's interesting. This is talking about the Georgia State Election Board misrepresenting 6,000-plus ballot recount discrepancies. And the article goes into what happened and how they did this. But what I want to bring up is this voter fraud that they're doing. And it's taken them this long to recount and say finally that they misrepresented all these ballots. So what's going to happen in this election?
I think they're gearing up right now. You know, the FBI, they're going to be using, and I expect the CIA to be involved in that too, but yeah, the election fraud, they got companies out there that do nothing but participate in election fraud now.
Right. And this, so, you know, and I agree, you got to fight the fight and you have to do what you can do, but we can vote till the cows come home, and if they're going to just throw in a box of over 6,000 ballots for their candidate, what are you going to do?
Well, the thing of it is this. You have to vote. If you don't vote, then you've got no right to complain. You can't say they stole my vote if you don't vote.
Right.
So everybody goes to vote. And when they steal, well, then let me tell you, it's called righteous indignation. First of all, I don't recognize the department, the DOJ, I don't recognize them as a legitimate department, as a legitimate form of government. They have gone, they're crooks. They're, again, I say that Merrick Garland would be hard-pressed to find someone more as crooked as he is to and look what they're, what he's doing to the Christian patriots. Okay. And that's coming down from Joe Biden. So Biden is illegitimate. He is not. He's a usurper. He did not win that election. I have an article here. All he does is lie. Biden claims inflation was 9% when he took office. You know what it really was? The number was when Trump was in office?
Oh, I bet you it was lower than that.
1.4%.
That's what I figured. Yeah. Because Trump left us in good shape.
Yeah, so it is sometimes hard to tell whether Joe Biden is lying or simply demented, but is lying or simply. But either way, he keeps spreading false information to protect his terrible economic record. In an interview with a CNN, Biden claimed that inflation was running at 9% when he seized the office in January, and I use the word seized the office. In January 2021.
Didn't you have an article that went across your desk, and I think I read it when I was in your office, that actually said that Kamala at one time was running ahead of Joe Biden?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. Yeah. On one of the services that comes in. But it said that Kamala Harris actually was rated higher than Biden was.
No president had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. This guy's, these people are amazing. You know, they're trying to tell us, you know, are you going to believe your lying eyes or me, right?
Right.
It was 9% when I came into office, 9%. But look, people have a right to be concerned. Ordinary people, the idea that you bounce a check and you get a $30 fee for bouncing the check. I changed that. You can't charge more than $8 for that or your credit card on your late payment. $35. There's corporate greed going on out there, and it's got to do, and they're still charging that. So that
they are still charging that.
This guy, he can't tell the truth about anything, okay? and so, again, the inflation was 1.4% was the reality when it was fact-checked, okay? So there you go.
But getting back to what Richard said a while back there, the other thing that nobody's talking about is this, is that, come on, there's, what, 3.5 million registered voters in Ohio and 4 million of them voted?
Yeah.
4 million people voted? How you do that math?
Yeah.
Yep.
Come on. You know.
I should have told Stephen that, too. Yeah, he needed to know. Yeah, I mean, the corruption's just unbelievable. And here in Ohio, we warn people and warn people and warn people. Okay. We're up against a break. We'll be back after this.
You may be the meanest person alive and pull the wings off butterflies. I don't care what you say or do. You can't make God stop loving you. That's the thing about God, oh yes. That's the thing about God. You might think it's a little bit odd, but that's the thing about God. Your heart may be as cold as ice. You don't have time for being nice. You can blame God for what you've been through, but you can't make God stop loving you. That's the thing about God, oh yes. That's the thing about God. You might think it's a little bit odd, but that's the thing about God. You might not shake the preacher's hand, be a Jack the Ripper fan. Well, when the good guy wins, you probably boo, but you can't make God stop loving you. That's the thing about God, oh yes, that's the thing about God. You might think it's a little bit odd, but that's the thing about God. I don't care what you say or do, you can't make God stop loving you.
Alrighty, we are back. And Trump's attorneys file a motion for mistrial after Stormy Daniels takes the stand. You know, you notice one thing that they keep failing. All of these, they keep going after Trump. All these bogus charges, and people are starting to really see what the Democratic Communist Collective, what they're really all about. Here, Trump's attorneys filed a motion for mistrial on Thursday after Stormy Daniels took the witness stand. Stormy Daniels took the witness stand again Thursday in Alvin Bragg's lawfare hush money trial against Trump in New York City. Now, here's a woman. We had four cases where she had signed four sworn statements that she never, ever had an affair or had a right. sex. And these were signed affidavits. Isn't that right?
That's right.
And so now they're saying, well, yeah, that's true, but she was lying then, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Now she's not lying.
Yeah.
Oh, well, boy. Oh, that not, which... How many lies do you have to make before you can start telling the truth?
Look, two wrongs don't make a right, but three right. lefts do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Now, I got another one that kind of is on that same topic here. It says, potentially case-blowing mistake, Jack Smith deception exposed. And everybody knows that Jack Smith is the lead prosecutor in the Trump trial down there about the documents. And here we go. It says, A true courtroom stunner came just days ago when Jack Smith, prosecuting President Trump for having government documents from his presidency in his home, admitted his team lied to the public and the court in the case. Arrest deranged Jack Smith. He is a criminal, Trump said in a Truth Social post this week. And now a declassification report from famed investigating journalist Julie Kelly notes that the situation is potentially a case killer. And the case killer basically goes like this, and it says that the FBI staged a photography of documents and released it to the public to create a public interest in the case. But Kelly continued, the Department of Justice, clever wordsmithing, however, did not accurately describe the origin of the cover sheets in what must be considered not only an act of doctoring evidence, but willfully misleading the American people into believing that the former president is a criminal and threat to national security. Agents involved in the case attached the cover sheets so that at least seven files were to be staged in the photo. And so really what it is tampering with the evidence. And this involves 37 different boxes that what the FBI did was that they took a paperclip, took the cover sheet off and attached their own little cover sheet to it. And then they lied and said that they were presenting the evidence the way it was confiscated.
Right. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, we don't have a justice now.
That's right.
Congress, Jim Jordan, he keeps filing charges. But what he can do, and he's done a really good job of that, is he drags them into Congress, and then they question them. And I'll say one thing. That's one thing they've done a good job at. But
yeah.
But the vast majority of people don't really see it because it don't go all over the mainstream media. We talk about it. We see it on C-SPAN. We see it on sometimes on the alternative media out there. But
and we're in Ohio, where Jim Jordan is from.
Yes.
So we get a little more on him than probably a lot of people do that are out of state.
Alrighty, go ahead, little Lisa.
Okay, now this one is from Gateway Pundit, and it says James O'Keefe's O'Keefe Media Group has recently released explosive undercover footage that purportedly shows a CIA contractor discussing how intelligence agencies conspired to withhold information from then-President Donald Trump. Quote, "I have evidence that exposes the CIA, and it's on camera. I'm working on releasing a story that I believe is the most important in my entire career," O'Keefe said. O'Keefe Media Group on Wednesday released Part 1, Exposing the CIA, a project manager working in cyber operations told OMG's undercover journalist that the director of the CIA would keep information from Trump. The contractor, identified as Amjad Faisim, a program manager in cyber operations with a top secret clearance, is heard in the video alleging that senior officials, including former CIA directors Gina Haspel and Mike Pompeo, made concerted efforts to keep sensitive information from President Trump, labeling him a Russian asset. And so the Gateway Pundit's Christina Lila broke the news shortly after the video's release, highlighting the gravity of the accusations. Faisim is recorded as saying, quote, "The executive staff were talking about the director and his subordinates kept information from Trump because we knew he'd disclose it," unquote. The video further alleges that the intelligence community used FISA warrants to spy on Trump and his team, and that this surveillance has continued post-presidency. Quote, "We monitor everything," Faisim claims in the recording. O'Keefe added, quoted the CIA contractor saying, quote, "We steal it, that's information, and we hack other countries just like that." Amjad, who states he currently works on the CIA's China Mission Center, explains how intel agencies obtain information. He also describes a broken intelligence system where, quote, "We don't share information across agencies because the CIA is, quote, very reluctant to share information with the, quote, careless NSA.
All righty. Breaking, House Democrats vote unanimously to give illegal aliens representation in Congress and the Electoral College. Here we go. House Democrats on Wednesday night voted unanimously to give the illegal aliens, including Joe Biden's 11 million illegal border crossers, representation in Congress and the Electoral College. That's how they plan on trying to win an election. Democrats continue to put Americans and American workers in line behind alien invaders. The House vote was 206 to 202, with 22 representatives, 11 Democrats, and 11 Republicans abstaining from the vote. Stephen Miller reported House Dems just voted unanimously to give illegals representation in Congress and Electoral College. House seats and Electoral College votes will be added to areas with the most illegals, including the Biden illegals, unless Senate passes the bill, invasion by design. This is an amazing thing.
Yes,
I mean, but you know what to me is more interesting is that this had to be created by a presidential order, because we heard nothing about it in Congress, and this is another one, and this is how Biden is doing most of his damage, is that I want to know, and I'll look that up, I think, and see how many presidential orders Biden has written. And then maybe we can come back on the air and let people know that. But I'm sure that's because that's what he's doing, is that he writes a presidential order to get the ball rolling, and then that's what happens. Mm-hmm. And he's writing an inordinate number of presidential orders. And, like, you know, it, to me, it's like it's ridiculous. These people aren't citizens. So, and
yes,
they're voting.
I
mean,
sakes,
come on, we're run by foreigners.
Yeah.
Well, and the point being is Biden's not writing any of these, and Biden is just signing off.
That's exactly right.
He doesn't even, if you watch him, you know he doesn't even realize or know what he's doing besides he's just signing his name and they're just patting him on the head. So somebody else is behind the scenes running this all.
How about Obama? This is Obama's third term.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
I
agree.
Obama.
But it's a whole army of people doing that. So,
I mean, you know, we talked about abortion tonight. Think about that. Obama's career was abortion. That's how he rose through the ranks in Illinois. Abortion, abortion, abortion. Remember, he was the only one that voted for the partial birth abortion. He was the only one. Everybody else thought it was too brutal, too barbaric. And he also voted not only for that, but he was the first one to vote kill the babies outside the womb, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
He voted for if a
baby survived the attempt on his life.
It's a shame his mother didn't believe that.
Yeah, here's what he said. That thing was never meant to live. He referred to the babies as a thing. That thing was never meant to live to begin with, so just put it on a shelf and let it die. That's the Democratic Communist Party. But, you know, these 11 Republicans that just said they abstained from voting, that they gave that vote to the Democrats.
That's what they did, right. I mean, I like I said, we got one party.
Yeah.
We got one party. We don't have two anymore.
We can't. We cannot depend on Congress to help us and the Senate. You know, we can't depend upon government. A government now has become the enemy of the people.
Yeah, unfortunately, yes.
It's almost like you guys are saying just voting isn't enough.
Well,
you're right.
Yeah.
But there again, the bottom line is prayer. I mean, until you can change the hearts of people, then people are going to go for this kind of legislation and this kind of stuff.
Well, you see, you can't change the hearts of people. God can.
God has to. I agree. That's what I'm saying.
But you see, they have to want to have a change.
Oh, I agree. Because God's not going to violate their free will.
Right.
You know.
So, Jeremiah, the prophet, he prayed to God that if they won't repent, then that death that they want, bring that death upon their heads.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so... And, you know, Isaiah, the prophet, prayed the same thing. So people need to understand that. Mm-hmm. It is where we're at today. That's why we pray imprecatory prayers here. And when it comes to imprecatory prayers, boy, old King David was one that really understood that.
Okay. Yeah.
So, all right, speaking of prayers, we have Pastor Hal with us. Are you there, Hal?
Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing okay. How much time does Hal have? You've got 7 whole minutes, Hal. 7 whole minutes. Okay. Do you think you can tell us how avoid that lake of fire and how we can get to heaven?
With God's help, I can. You know, one thing a preacher said a long time ago is, what we do with Israel will determine what God does with us. And in Genesis 12:3, God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And with us turning our back on Israel as a nation, who was the only friend we had in the Middle East, it's a sign that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. But it's a sign that America is going to go through a tough time because they're turning their back on God's people. And it's God that judges his people. You know, he doesn't give it to the nations of the world to do. But the good news for Christians is that things are going to get better for us, even though things are going to get worse for the unsaved world. Because when Jesus comes back again, he's going to take us home to heaven, those people that are born-again Christians. And how do you escape the wrath of God? It's very simple. John 3:3 says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again takes place when you repent of your sins, like you were talking about. That's admitting to God that without Jesus in our hearts, we're a bunch of dirty, rotten, lousy, stinking sinners on our road to hell. And the only thing that can save us is when we go to Calvary and ask God to Jesus to come into our heart and give us the payment he paid for us on that cross. John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You could be a member of every church in town and die and go to hell with all your membership cards. Or you could get baptized so often, all the fish in the sea know your social security number, but still wind up going to hell because it's the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed on Calvary that washes away your sins when you come to him as your Savior, being sorry about the fact you're a sinner. Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in whom we have redemption, through his blood. That's the only way you can be saved, is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because in Christ was all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and the pure, sinless blood of God himself was shed on that cross that washes away your sins when you come to Jesus and admit you can't save yourself and you need to receive the payment he paid for you. See, that's the good news. God knew you couldn't save yourself, so he allowed Jesus to transfer your guilt and my guilt onto his son Jesus, so the guilt of all our sins, so that when right before Jesus died, he said, it is finished. That means God accepted what he did in our place on that cross to redeem our souls from hell. But that doesn't become yours automatically. John 1:12 said, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. So even though Jesus Christ died on that cross to offer you salvation, you have to, by faith, reach out and receive it for it to become yours. Just like a man out in the ocean drowning, he could know that life preserver will save him, but if he don't reach out and receive it, he's going to drown. Now, God don't want you to go to hell. God loves you, but he hates your sins. And Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means if you believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood to save your soul, and you call upon him, which is pray, ask him to come into your heart, he'll do it. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells you it's a free gift. Jesus did all the work. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself, it's the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. So according to Revelation 3:20, he stands at the door of your heart right now and knocking on that door. He's allowing you to open up that door and let him come in. The choice of heaven or hell is yours right now, and he's looking to see what you're going to do. If you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, what do you say we say a simple prayer together? Even though we're praying together, it'd be directly between you and Jesus. But if you open the door of your heart right now, he'll come in and he'll give to you the payment he paid for you on that cross. So let's pray and be sorry about the fact you're a sinner, and he'll save you. Dear God, please forgive me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on that cross and shed your blood to save my soul. And right now, Lord Jesus, right now, I here and now ask you to come into my heart. Give to me that payment you paid in my place on that cross and save my soul from hell. In Jesus' name, I pray this. Amen. And one final thing, folks. 1 John 5:13, God made you a promise. He says that because you received Jesus Christ in your heart, this is what the Apostle John told people. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. Know it? How do you know it? Because God made you a promise, and God cannot lie. And then he says you have. That's a present tense verb. That means the moment you open the door of your heart to Jesus and trusted him and him only for your salvation, he came into your heart, and you have eternal life right now. So go ahead, Pastor. It's yours.
All right. Well, you still had a minute left.
Let's pray for Ellie.
Oh, no.
let's pray for Ellie.
Yes.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Let's pray for Ellie.
What we want to do, what they're talking about is my wife's going to have surgery tomorrow.
Yes.
So they want to pray for her. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, as we come before you, and Lord Ellie, and Lord, we also want to pray for Harry, who's kind of given up. He's just kind of given up out there today. Lord, and there were so many we prayed for today. I want to also pray for, well, I had that list in my, David, who's in the hospital, who is not saved, and he's going to undergo heart surgery, and he's not saved. And so we want to pray for him, too. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just want to hold my wife up and ask, Lord, again, guide the surgeon's hands tomorrow as we're there. And Father God, would just bless her. And, Lord, we know, I just trust you that everything will be all right. For Harry, Lord, he just lost the will. He just don't want to even live anymore. Lord God, and yet, Father, we know all you have to do is just say the word and touch Harry. He could be healed. And back out here where we need him, helping us fight the fight, Lord. And as far as Dave goes, Lord, he needs salvation. And so, Lord, I would ask, Father God, Lord, that you would, even this might be the night, that you would break his heart and he would repent of his sin and call upon your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Well, we're out
Amen.
Of time, so for until
Amen.
Tomorrow, we want to say good night. We want to say God bless.
God bless.
And we want to say
always.
Let's do it. Ready?
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's right, what's left,
hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.